Welcome to Women Writing Men, episode 15. I'm Delaney, here with Mariah.
Hello.
And this week we read Knights in Rodanthe by Nicholas Sparks.
So it's one of our special episodes.
Yeah, this is a men writing
men.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is my first Nicholas Sparks book.
Wow.
So
this is not one of my first Nicholas Sparks books, but I hadn't read it yet.
Yeah, and you found it on your own shelf.
Yeah. Like, sometimes my grandmas just give me books, and then I put them on the shelf, and then I take them off to read them for this podcast.
Yeah, so do you want to do a summary?
Sure. Forewarning, I read this a while ago.
Yeah, as we were starting, she's like, wait, what are their names?
Like, more than a month. More than 2 months, I think, is how long ago I read this one.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So, we'll see how this goes. Okay, so, the story is about Adrian, who is a mother of three children, and she's old. That was when I was like, she's an old lady. And in the first chapter, she is an old lady.
Yeah.
She's like 60 years old, and I was like, okay, this is gonna be new. I haven't read senior romance yet.
It's more like the actual romance is middle-age romance,
yes,
but it's...
We go back in time.
But it's still, like, it's new for us.
It's still new. It's the oldest characters we've ever encountered.
For sure.
And she basically is divorced from her husband and goes to this inn for the weekend. And while she's at the inn, she meets Paul, who is, I guess, also recently divorced. I don't really remember.
He's not
married.
Yeah, he's recently divorced.
And he's gone to the same inn to speak to a person. We'll tell you who it is later.
Yeah.
They're both there for different reasons, but they're the only two at the inn.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, they fall in love.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. This is just true romance. I mean, I guess they both had, like, issues.
Yeah, but it's very, like, this is just a love story.
Yes.
Which, admittedly...
Which is Nicholas Sparks.
That's what Nicholas Sparks does, so...
I watched one of his movies yesterday. It's what it was.
So it opens with Adrian, and she's reflecting on her days at this inn in Rodanthe. And so, Rodanthe, I looked it up, it's like, I forget what state it's in, but it's like a weird, like, thing.
Little tiny island?
Yeah, that, like, comes off of, I want to
whichever
say, like,
one.
Carolina or something.
That's what I would guess, but I'm just like, you know, it feels like it would be North Carolina.
Okay, cool. So it, like, gets stormy weather, and so Adrian is looking after the inn for her friend, because her friend actually owns it, and her friend had to go away, but this guy wanted to stay there because he needed to talk to this person, and she's like, technically it's not, or it's like the last week of the season, or it's not in season, which is why she had planned to go to this wedding, so then Adrian has to come look after the inn.
Because the friend has gone to the wedding.
Yes, which I don't think they actually have talked about yet, but that's the gist of the inn situation.
Yes. She's at the inn for her friend.
So she has kids, they're 32, 31, and 29.
They're all older than us.
Yeah, and also, I was like, that's, like, really close ages.
32, 31, and 29.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the kids were 14, 13, and 11 when she was divorcing her husband, Jack.
And was in Rodanthe.
Yes. No.
No.
That's when they divorced. She
right.
was in Rodanthe a little bit later.
When
they were, like, 15, 16-ish. My first thoughts, I was like, what a weird start to the book where she just, like, just talks about her kids and her life. And, like, there was so much just, like... laying out exposition, and
yes.
I was like, it's weird. I feel like authors get told not to do this, but it's Nicholas Sparks,
so
he can do whatever
he wants.
Yeah, he can just talk about that she got divorced, she has these three kids, like, and I was like, this is so, why do I care? But
but we're gonna find out about it.
And then
I have more moments like that. I'll bring them,
yeah,
because I was like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
Like, why are we just hearing about this right now?
Yeah.
So I'll bring those up when they come.
Well, the first one that came up for me was, she was like, yeah, my daughter's husband died of testicular cancer. And I was like, why are you telling me this?
I mean, they make it clear.
Yeah.
There is a good reason.
Because... Yeah. It just, like, when it first came up, I was like, what a weird way to start the story. like, hi, I'm Adrian, I have three kids, my daughter's husband died of testicular cancer. Like, it just was, like, a very weird opening. And then she talks about her dad and how her mom died, and so then she's like, the dad lost a spouse, I wish he was alive now so that he could help my daughter who has lost her spouse. Mm-hmm. And then, so then she, like, pulls out this box from under her bed of Rodanthe things. And she's like, it's time to tell my daughter about what happened in Rodan.
Yes. She thinks it's going to help her daughter.
Which I found, like, I was like, all right, this is weird. I'll let you do it. But it's kind of weird.
And also, like, she needs to help her daughter because her daughter is not coping well. That's, like, also what is mentioned. Like, she has kids. The daughter has kids.
Yes.
And she hasn't been, like, the best mother since the father.
The daughter is named Amanda, and so she's kind of relevant, so we'll actually name her as opposed to calling her just the daughter. But the two other kids are brothers. Like, Amanda's the middle child, and so the two other brothers, they're, like, looking after her kids right now, and she's, like, sitting down with Adrian to have a glass of wine, and they're just gonna...
talk about Rodan.
Yeah. Yeah, and so then Adrian, like, gives her... this letter that's from Paul, it's from the box of Rodanthe stuff. And he's, like, a doctor down in Ecuador. And, like, that's kind of our first introduction to Paul's existence. So then we go to a Paul chapter, which is obviously in the past, like, his, how he ended up in Rodanthe. Mm-hmm. And so he's a doctor. He sells his house.
Wait a second. Here's when I... this was the moment where I was like, why are we hearing about this? He spent multiple pages describing the interior of Paul's house.
Yes.
For Paul to promptly leave the house and never return.
It was to show that what he was leaving behind.
And I, come on.
Yeah.
You can just tell us that your house is worth millions of dollars. We don't need the details. It was like talking about the flooring and the counters and the walls and this roof. And I was like, I don't care. I hate details. I don't care. Why are you telling us this? And it was like talking about how he was moving. And I was like, we're never going to see this house again. I was bothered.
Yeah. And so Paul thinks about how his own dad died. And so his dad, like, he got a scholarship to Duke and was, like, going to go. And he was a farm worker. And then his dad died. And then his dad didn't see him go to school or whatever. But he worked really hard in medical school, and he was, like, married with a son while doing medical school. Mm-hmm. And then he went hard on being a doctor. His son hates him.
I also wrote so much backstory, except, and I was like, why? Why so much backstory? Why do we need to know this?
It's just like my daughter's husband died of testicular cancer. It's just like, what? Okay.
Except for then it said, like, except they also mention that some point in his life, he cut loose from, like, the normal and almost died. And that was the backstory they didn't describe. And I was like, are you kidding me? The one piece of information that would have been
vaguely
interesting. And it's just like, I cut loose, I almost died, and I never cut loose again. I'm like, what does that mean? What did you do? They do tell us.
Yeah, that. I was like, he did tell us.
I was like, that's what intrigued me. Not all the rest of this boring mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, so he's got a son, Mark, a wife, Martha. I don't know if we need to name her, but she's filed for divorce, and he has just lost a patient. He does, like, plastic surgery and other surgery, and he's just lost a patient at work and is being divorced, and his son is off in Ecuador doing, like, humanitarian sort of doctor work, because his son also became a doctor.
Yeah.
And so Paul is very alone, and
he's also 54.
Yeah.
Just in case.
And then we, like, flash forward, he's, like, at the inn, and he sees her, like, crying. That's their first intro. It's like she's just standing outside crying with a coffee or something. He's like, I could go. And she's like, no, it's
fine. Okay, I'll check you in.
Yeah, let's go.
I do want to say the thing I wrote about Paul in this little montage of who he is. I was like, he's not starting off great. It's like,
yeah,
he's estranged from his son.
Yeah, his wife doesn't like him.
He's completely, he abandoned his wife as soon as they got married, basically.
Yeah.
He doesn't spend any time with anybody except for himself. And he admits that he's been running away from things his whole life. I'm like, oh, good. yeah, get with him, Adrian.
Yeah, like he's not immediately like, wow, I really want him.
No.
Like, yeah, he's not desirable.
And he's 54. Like, he's older than my dad. Is he older than your dad? I think my dad's turning 54 this year. I always get mixed up.
I think my dad is 54. He's born in 66.
Oh, mine too. So then is my dad turning 55 this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Yes. Because yes. 2021 would be 55.
So it's not May yet. And when's your dad's birthday?
September. So they're both 54.
They're both 54. Well, this is weird, actually.
Maybe we shouldn't have put that context in there.
This guy is exactly both our dad's age. Okay, well, great. So then we're back to Adrian's perspective. Jack, her husband, was nice, but he cheated on her. She was sad. And then she was worried about money. Like, so when she's crying on the porch, she was worried about money because she wants to get her elderly father into, like, a nice home.
Yes, because in this flash back to the past, her dad's still alive.
Yeah. But in the future, when she's talking to her daughter, dad's dead.
Yeah. So,
she takes him to his room.
Wait, I have something to say.
Okay.
I was a little bit annoyed with the end of her marriage. Because, like, they talk about their love. Like, they talk... We got the backstory of Adrian. What's his name? Jack?
Yeah.
And I was like, she's not a bat. Like, nothing really happened in their relationship. And I was like, it feels like... Him cheating on her was a little bit of out left field. Like, if he was bored, why didn't he say something? I'm very confused. I felt like a convenient way to end a marriage without...
having any actual, like...
Like, because it was a surprise.
Yeah.
And she talked about how great of a guy he was. And I was like, if he was that great of a guy, he would have been like, I'm struggling in our marriage. Instead of just blatantly, randomly cheating. My opinion.
I feel like it was... He, like...
bored
doing the day-to-day, and then it just...
But if he was a good guy,
I know,
he would have been
maybe
like,
he was a good guy when they got married, and then like however many, because they were married for like 17 years.
Yeah,
so maybe in the 10 years he got less good. And she just didn't notice,
and I was like, dude, come on, like. I think she mentions at some point like they haven't had sex in forever, and I was like, red flag lady. Like,
yeah. So Paul is actually at the inn to talk to this guy, Mr. Torrelson.
Wow, big name.
Yeah, Robert Torrelson. Okay. I wrote it down. Whose wife, Jill, died.
On Jack's table.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't know why she died. This guy, Robert, was, like, suing him for malpractice. And, yeah, that's all I have.
And, like, the case got dropped.
Yeah.
But he wrote a letter to Paul.
Yeah, this little note that was like, come see me.
And so Paul's like, okay.
Okay. And everyone's like, don't go see him.
Okay, I have something. Okay. I have, like, just comments from, like, the last couple chapters. One of them's really funny. So one of them, because you guys all know, we like to talk about how they smell. And so I wanted to point out that she has mentioned...
I can't believe that you always have notes on how they smell.
Because
they, like, say it.
They say it all the time. But they actually don't tell us how he smells. But throughout this book, she talks about how he smells of cologne, which could smell like a variety of things. But I was like, oh, they noted it. He has a smell. And it's not just man smell, it's cologne smell. The next note I had, which was when Paul and he saw her crying, and it's noted that he's felt empathy, which is the first time he's ever felt that before.
What a concerning character trait.
And I was like, red flag. And I was like, wait a second, is like, you've never felt empathy ever? Or like, you've never felt empathy seeing a stranger cry? It wasn't really, but I was like, either way, it's not a good look. And then my next one was, did Adrian really tell Amanda all of this? If this is what the story was, it's really long. It's really boring. Like, when you tell a person a story, you're like, I went to Rodamp. I met a man. Yeah. You know, it'll take you, like, 15 minutes maybe to explain. Yeah. And I was like, this is a long story. It's like, I saw the sunset, Amanda. It was blue.
Yeah, I was crying.
I was crying. He walked in. He smelled of cologne. And that's... Amanda's like, Mom, this is so boring. Hurry up. What's the point of this?
I can't believe how patient Amanda is. Like, I would be like, okay.
I get it. You were in Rodamp. Come on.
And I just can't imagine a way that you do this that isn't, like, insanely awkward. But
yeah,
we'll just...
So those are just some of my thoughts reading the story. We can continue.
Yeah, so they make dinner together, like, the first night.
I felt like that was weird.
I wrote unsettlingly domestic.
But I wonder if it's, again, like, this notion that Nicholas Sparks writes to older women. And yeah. So it's, like, older women are like, oh, blah, blah.
Let's make dinner together.
With her.
I was like, okay, maybe this is to show that they have some level of comfort with each other, even though they're kind of strangers right now. Like, an unusual level of comfort with each other. But yeah, they talk about their divorce and eat dinner.
Yeah. And she...
Their separate divorces, not their mutual divorce.
Yes. I did note here that at least he's, like, being... Because I have said, like, man, he sucks.
Yeah.
But he was very upfront about all of his suckiness. Yeah. He was like, I didn't treat my wife well.
Yeah.
My son doesn't like me.
He's at a turning point in his life. And he's, after he does this, he's going to go to Ecuador to try to reconnect with his son.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is an interesting, like, he's at an interesting place in his life. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, that made him kind of interesting as a person. Mm-hmm. He wasn't necessarily... the same person he had been. Mm-hmm. So when he describes himself as being all shitty and red flaggy, he was trying to not be that way. Mm-hmm. Which made him slightly more endearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they go for a walk after dinner.
wait, I have something. During dinner, he's talking about how he's a surgeon.
Yeah.
She has been, like, observing him, and when he says that, she's like, oh,
it all now makes sense.
Now I understand why you have forehead lines. And how well you washed your hands earlier.
And how he peeled potatoes.
And I was like, what? Like, I don't really feel like I would have this moment of like, ah!
Yeah. Of
the
course
world
he's a
makes
servant.
Sense again. A did you say servant?
Yeah.
I wrote that I wash my hands the same way it was described that he washes his hands.
Probably because you're a surgeon.
And if I have forehead lines, oh no, watch out. People are going to ask me for medical advice all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so he tells her about getting... Oh, this is when he tells her about the one time he let go and got caught in a hurricane.
Yeah, and that was what it was.
And he was like, I'd never tell anyone about that one time that I wasn't a cool...
That's so lame.
It is.
Tell people your fun stories. Yeah. It makes life so much more fun.
It makes you more interesting.
Yeah.
But he's like, I want her to know that side of me as well. Mm-hmm. And then she has trouble sleeping that night, and that's the first night.
And I said, at this point, can I tell you, I predicted how the story was going to end here. He's going to die.
I was like, it's Nicholas Sparks. Doesn't the guy always die at
no,
the end?
No.
Okay.
Someone almost always dies, but like the one I watched yesterday, it was the ex-husband who died. Mm. In one with Channing Tatum, it's the his father who dies. Mm. It's not always the main guy.
Thank you.
Is Nicholas Sparks? No, is The Notebook Nicholas Sparks too? In that one, they both die at the same time.
Oh, nice.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So then, it's the morning. Paul goes for a run, and she, like, cooks this, like, insane breakfast. I was like, why are you... Like, it's like she's cooking for three children, but it's just Paul. And then he tells her about this thing with the Torrelson husband that mm-hmm. he has to do. Mm-hmm. He goes that day, I think, to meet the son of the lady who died on the operating table. Like, he goes to meet the husband, but it runs into the son.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go well. The son is like... Get out of here, I hate you.
Can I tell you my comments from this chapter? I have a lot.
Okay, wait. Okay, so
keep going.
Then he comes and tells Adrian about it, and Adrian is like, the sun, like, you came here and you're not supposed to say anything. You're just supposed to listen to how they feel. Mm-hmm. And then they almost kiss, and then that's it. Your turn on thoughts.
Okay. So some of my thoughts, you didn't describe, like, what happened, so I'll just... So one of the things she mentions is that she never has time for a bath. And I was like, and she's like, feels very deprived about this. And I was like, woman, just take a damn bath. She's a part-time librarian and all of her kids are in high school.
No like, time for a bath.
Like, your kids are gone from 8 to 3 every day and you only work part-time at the library.
And there's extracurricular, like, and they have friends. Like, what are you, and the kids, she's like, the kids don't come out of their room. It's like, just then go have a bath.
I was really bothered by that one. I'm like, you're not too busy. Oh, they tell us what she smells like in this chapter.
So we, good.
So we never find out Paul's smell, but she smells like jasmine. One of the things, I guess in this chapter, they, I don't know why I know this, but I wrote dying dads get me. And maybe it is reference that her dad is dying or sick. And I just had this moment where I was like, they really put dying dads in books way more often than dying moms.
Yeah.
And then I had this moment where I was like, I can't think of a single book where a mom dies. And I was like, is that a thing?
But I wonder if it's like almost too sad, like too real sad.
Like dying moms?
Yeah, like it would make you feel like dying dad, it's like, oh, that's sad in like a pretty sad way, but like dying mom is just like just deeply sad. Like, you're like, I don't know how I can handle it.
Can you think of a book where a mom dies?
I mean, other than, like, it's either both parents die, mm-hmm. or...
Like, they both die, a lot of the time they both die young, and you're like, they grow up alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of one where it's like,
oh, the mom dies through the story.
Yeah.
Only her.
Yeah, no, I can't think of one.
Yeah. Okay, so that was one of my thoughts.
Because both of them were like, because he didn't even have a mom, like...
No, we don't, we're never even get introduced to her mom.
Yeah.
Or his mom. His mom.
Or her mom. Mom. Neither of them have mothers. Hi. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the only other comment I made was, I was like, are you for real? Because he says that Adrian knows him better than he's ever, than anyone he's ever met in his entire life. And I was like, it's been less than 24 hours. These kind of things just, I don't know. It's not like I don't believe in...
in true love at first sight and...
Really?
I know, to have that thought to yourself, it's just... it's like so out of... like, it's so overly romantic that you're like, I don't think I can buy it, you know?
Do you think Alex knows you better than anyone else in the world?
No.
Who do you think knows you better? The best.
Like, literally, like, there's so many people that know better than Alex. Alex can't even get my birthday, like, most times.
I think women know each other better than men know women.
Yeah.
And I would say that people who've known you longer, like, Alex came into your life, like, much later in life.
He just doesn't know as much, and he just doesn't have a good memory.
But less than 24 hours with one woman, only the two of you, you're so golden.
I mean, set. Maybe a man would feel that way. Like, maybe she's not like, he knows me better than anyone ever. But
the comment that she has made was, I don't understand why his marriage ended. He's so great. I'm like, you've known him for less than 24 hours. She commented that last night.
Yeah.
They've known each other for like 4 hours. I'm like, you don't know why. He, like... this is what bothered me, because it's like, of course he's going to be on his best behavior. You're a stranger.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like an asshole. Unless he's like really an indecent human being. But like, of course you wouldn't know why his marriage ended. You don't know him. He's a stranger.
Also.
They're both a little blinded.
Yeah. Also, just a thing, like a general note. I found his thing with like the guy that he had to talk to for the surgery thing. Found that story like so much more compelling than their nights in Rodanthe or her daughter with her dead husband who died of testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. Like, all I cared about was like this guy who lost his wife.
I was really curious about how their conversation with the guy was gonna go.
Yeah, like that was like what I was here for. Like, I didn't care how the romance went. Like... so she goes to get groceries and thinks about that. She's like, no one has ever found me attractive.
I know.
And I was like, I don't know. It was just, like, a weird, sad thought. Yes. I don't know. And then they have to put up these hurricane guards because there's a storm coming. And she watches him do it. And she's all like, wow, he's so hot. And so he showers and she takes a bath and shaves her legs and thinks about her ex-husband.
Oh, yeah. So I wrote something about this part. She let the passion die in their relationship. And then she's like comments on how she was bothered that he continued to look at her desirably once they were married. And she's like, you shouldn't do that. And I was like, what? What are you saying? Like, I don't really remember like reading this. But all I wrote was, your husband can look at you like you're desirable. She acts like that should stop when people get married. And that she was fine. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I remember this. Like, she was very confused about what marriage should look like. And I was like, you should continue to, like, be desirable to each other.
I think she was just, like, accepting. Like, she was like, oh, I'm married now, so no one will find me attractive anymore or something.
But she included her husband in that.
Yeah.
So, and so she, like, stopped trying.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I don't need to look desirable anymore. I'm like, yeah, you do. Your husband needs to desire you.
Yeah. So she, like... She's like having her bath and
she's having her bath
and she like shaves her legs and then she like puts makeup on and dresses up and she's like, I'm gonna be so attractive for Paul. And then they drink wine and they bang.
Wait, I have things I have to say because it's not sorry. Quite
I just skipped pretty far ahead. You
skipped because, well, first they get really wet and I was like, oh, they're gonna like like rain wet.
Yeah, that's, yep.
And I was like, oh, it's sexy time. It's coming. And then it didn't. I was so surprised. I was like, he was really setting us up for sexy time. Because, you know, you can imagine. They're wet. They're like, oh my gosh, I have to take my clothes off. I'm so wet. And then they make
just, it. Just like that one. The one with the plane guy and they're in the cabin. I don't know. I think they got, her clothes got wet and then she took them off to dry them by the fire with the cabin. And then he went out to chop wood with
his shirt on. Exactly.
Oh my god, it took you so long to get there.
I thought you were talking about another Nicholas Sparks movie.
No.
And I was like, which one? I don't know. But yes.
Yeah.
Into the Wild.
Yes.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah, anyway.
His name.
No, it's The Simple Wild.
Yeah.
Into the Wild, something else.
But yes, there's like this trope about getting wet and having sex.
Yeah.
So I was like, here it comes. And then they just skipped that. And then she had her bath.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I was like, wow, he's like twists and turns in this book.
Wow, he's just really throwing us for a loop.
And then the other thing that I said in this section was like, I'm really anti-Paul, what I concluded. Because, yes, he's on this journey. He's, like, figuring things out. But I was like, I wouldn't date him yet.
He's just not there
decided
yet.
That he's going to figure things out. Like, will he? Or is he going to go back? I was like, no. Danger. Danger.
Not
danger.
Yet. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I wrote, never mind. They're soaking. This led to nothing. Except she's getting her bath. Oh, and my cheesiest line happened too.
Oh, do it.
So after her bath,
I wonder if I had one.
This one was harder because I don't know. It's not like it's a.
There weren't like it was all very like sappy romance.
Yes.
But not. It wasn't poorly done, so it wasn't.
No.
Like, it didn't make you cringe. It was
no.
Just like, but all of it was like that. So actually, I think I did have one. I think I was talking to her daughter.
So my cheesiest line was after her bath and she's like getting all ready and it's not super cheesy, it just was like, ugh. She applied some lotion to her legs and belly, then her breasts and arms, relishing the way it made her skin come to life.
Yeah, and it's like,
and I was just like, I moisturize basically every day, but I'm not like, skin's coming alive now that my lotion is lathered on.
It was self-care. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. And then I comment that she really drives me nuts about her relationship with her husband. Like, she mentions that she stopped wearing makeup, and she's like, she really stopped trying.
Yeah.
And then she's like, he didn't try. I'm like, you didn't try!
Okay, are you ready to get past that they banged, or do you have more?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah. So she we flash back to Adrian sitting with Amanda, and she's like, I can't tell my daughter about the crazy sex we had. And how they banged, like, the whole time the storm was going on. Like, the lights were out, and they just, like, the whole time. They were, like, in bed. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so awkward. I would die if my mother was like, okay, talking about that time I banged a guy that I just met for, like, a whole weekend. Oh. Yeah, so then...
Okay, I have a thought about the banging.
Good, I want to keep talking about it.
It's very small, but the way the inn works is that he's on the second floor and she's on the first floor, and my thought was, why did they go to his room?
Like, why? Because they were sitting in the sitting room, so, like, they could have gone either way.
Like, yeah, but, like, her room's closer, yeah. Obviously. Like, well, let's walk up the stairs and tie herself
I think it's because she was staying in, like, jeans.
And like, that felt weird.
Yeah, the actual owner.
His room was, like, a hotel room. A guest room,
yeah.
I guess so.
Okay. They eat. The storm is over.
Okay. And they stop. And they've also both decided that they love each other.
Oh, yeah. They're very in love now.
And, like, once he comes back from Ecuador, he's coming to find her. And yeah. I'm like, whoa, man.
Yeah. And so they have a bath together, too. More baths.
I always... sea bath things. Maybe you and Alex have had a bath together. It doesn't look fun comfortable.
It's not possible. I mean,
your bath
is this too much information? Alex is way too long.
like you just sit on him.
Like, there's just, like, not enough room.
You need a big bath.
Yeah,
or like a circle bath.
Yeah, or like a proper, like, jacuzzi tub of some sort. Like, otherwise you're just, like, out of the water.
Well, I always see in shows that the people, like, well, sometimes, like, the girl sits on the boy, mm-hmm. but sometimes they, like, face each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who has to be on the spout end? Like...
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, and I, actually, do you know the movie Big Fish?
No.
Okay. There's, like, a scene where the clothed old man is in the bathtub. This is weird to describe. It's actually very nice when you watch it, but he's, like, dying, and he's in this bathtub, and then his wife, who's, like, all beautiful, she's old, too, but she comes and, like, lays on his chest, and they're both fully clothed in the bath, mm-hmm. but he's, like, it's just, like, a very nice scene between mm-hmm. them, and I was, like, okay, I can get behind this bath scene, mm-hmm. Because they're fully clothed, but, like, there's ways to do it that are nice and cute. So then the guy, Robert Torrelson, he comes to the house.
Yeah.
And he just talks about his wife, Jill, and how, I don't know if this is when they talk about it, but how she had...
like this ugly thing on her face.
Yeah, and he's like, I loved her, even when she had this ugly thing on her face. Like, he's like, I loved her the whole time. I loved her so much. And then she really wanted to get it off. And so I was like, yeah, do it. And then she died on the operating table. And he's like, I don't know why she died. Like, I really don't. And the guy's just like...
Like, Paul doesn't know why. He, like, they don't know why. They did it, like... Inconclusive autopsy,
they have no idea. And the guy's just like, you just needed to know, like, who she was and how much she meant to me, and that was it. And then he just leaves.
I liked that bit too. I didn't really write a lot about it other than, man, that was really sweet.
It was really like and I was like I don't know, that part I was like, okay, I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. And they had like six kids or something, like, it was mm-hmm. they had this whole story that I was like, I care so much more about their life. Can we do their romance? So he leaves, and
like Paul leaves, or Robert leaves.
Robert leaves, okay. And somehow someone realizes that, like, part of loving is that the love comes to an end at some point.
I don't remember that, but
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, okay. I had a quote here that I actually thought was good. This was a good quote.
Okay.
It was, they wanted peace, a life without turmoil. To be happy. Young people thought those things lay in the future. Old people thought they lay in the past.
I remember that quote. I wonder if I wrote it too, because most young people seem to think happiness lay somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
I wrote it too, because I was like, oh, amazing.
Yeah. that one, like, they were like, they were talking about the difference between old people and young people. Yeah. And that was it. It was just that young people think happiness is, like, off in the future, and then old people feel like it's off in the past. And it is, I was like, that is such a good quote, in that, you know, as we are young people reading this love story about old people, I felt like a little more
connected,
connected to caring about it. And so that was very well done, Nicholas Sparks. You get points for that, for that good line. And so she talks about, she's like, everything has changed now. I realize that I'm a lovable person.
I was bothered by this. I was bothered by a lot of this.
Yeah.
Just like, bothers me that she realized she was a lovable person because someone loved her.
Yes.
You should know you're a lovable person without, like,
yeah, she needed
self-healing. I think so much important than someone else. I feel
like the point was that it was like a thing, like a thing that instigated change. Like, maybe she didn't realize it at the, like, it wasn't that moment that he loved her, but afterwards she was like, okay, now I see that I'm a lovable person. And for him, you know, being with her, it turned on his empathy switch or something, like, and he learned how to be a normal human being.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so then she's like, then Jack later, he married the person he cheated with, and then that person cheated on him, and then he got...
Who's Jack?
Her husband.
Oh, okay.
Her... Anyway, let me tell you about her husband. Afterwards, he married the person he cheated with, and then they got divorced, and then he came back and, like, stayed with her a bit, and then mm-hmm. he was, like...
I feel like you, for like, missed a big part of the story, which was... They're done. I go from Dan, it's over.
I think it's like, maybe it is.
It is.
Oh my god, yeah.
It is. You just skipped that bit.
Well, yeah. I just...
And we're like, talk, now it's like her reflecting on the last 14 okay. years.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I mean, the most that's important to know is that he left and she was really upset.
Did I miss, like, maybe I just didn't take notes. I was like, yeah, right, it's over, whatever.
So yeah, just to like clarify that to all of you.
Okay, I did a bad job.
He leaves. And so now she's just like reflecting on what has happened in the last 14 years. And one of the things that happened was that her husband got divorced again and came to her for support, which is not something he has done. Mm-hmm. And these things that she's talking about now are to show how much she grew because she met
Great.
Paul and Rodin.
I actually am looking at my notes and it's literally 15 and then there's a bunch of stuff and then 18. I just was like, I don't know. I don't know if I like wasn't paying attention to chapters, but...
Well, the quote you said is in chapter 16, okay. So... I had some other comments about... So, like, other things that have... that happened in the last 14 years is that she has taken baths. She's like, I'm going to spit baths into
Thank
my life.
God.
She's talking about to her daughter again. And I just had this interesting, like, thought again of, like, contemplative. She hid
all of this from her daughter.
And her whole family, like, and I don't mean, I don't know. I just think, like, she became a drastically different person after returning from Rodin. Mm-hmm. And she didn't tell them, and I don't know. In my opinion, it's better to, like, show your kids who you are than to hide who you are. I think that's confusing.
Yeah, and, like, on the other hand, she was like, I couldn't tell them, like, I couldn't be like, hey, I met this guy, we had 48 hours together, we're super in love.
But now. It wasn't even that. They had a year-long relationship from afar.
Yeah.
She hid a year-long, long-distance, like, come on.
Yeah, they were doing letters, which I was also like, is this a Nicholas Sparks book where they correspond exclusively through letters?
Like, maybe don't, if it's just like a one-night stand, or one-weekend stand, yeah. Or whatever. But, like, that wasn't what it was.
She was worried it would seem that way to them, because they were teenagers. They were, like, 15, 16, and they're like, I don't know if they were... I kind of agree with her that they might not have been emotionally capable of handling mom had a one-night stand and now she's a drastically different person.
But it wasn't a one-night stand.
But
I understand
she wasn't
that.
Able to
but like
that.
A year later,
yeah.
When he's returning home and they haven't ever heard of him, like, this guy's going to come move to the town we live in and be with me. And they're like, what? Why? Where?
Yeah.
That would have been a big shock because that was the plan.
Yeah.
The plan was he's coming home from Ecuador and he's going to come to live in the town she lives in.
Yeah. And
that's pretty like big deal for kids who are like, he's a stranger.
Maybe she was going to try to, like, just date him at that point and not, like, and try to have like a normal relationship progression from that point.
Yeah, but do you still think that you like it's still lying? Like,
we knew each other
for 1 year, but we are just pretended like we just met last week.
Well, you could be like, we've been talking for a while. We're going to start dating now. We're going to have a normal from here.
Okay.
Yeah, so then she shows Amanda a letter from Paul and how they were corresponding back and forth.
Wait, I have one more thing to say. Why does she keep Paul from everybody?
She told her dad.
She told her dad, who has dementia. Like, she doesn't tell any of her friends. I'm like, fool, you should tell people. And like, even after we find out what happens to Paul, she still doesn't tell anybody.
Okay, we're at the part where we find it. Paul died.
Shocker. He died right before coming home, too. Like, oh, what a blow.
Yeah, it was like a weird thing where he was like driving with Mark and they got away from like some dangerous thing and then just drove off a cliff. I don't know. It was weird.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah, okay. He's dead. Yeah. And so then Amanda and Adrian cry together. And like, I'm like, Amanda, like, I guess she's just like sensitive to someone died, I think.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is such a weird, awkward story that your mother just told you. I get that they're having, like, this deep bonding moment, but I don't know.
I have some things about this chapter.
Yeah.
That you didn't mention.
Okay, go ahead.
So, she also talks about, in that moment when she's telling her father about blah, the man, her father's, like, also can't talk anymore, and that was just, like, so heartbreaking. And she talks about... Because she talks about the thing her father always told her whenever.
Oh, I'm so proud. Oh, my God. That was actually. That hurt.
And then she tells him about Paul. And he's, like, trying to say, I'm proud of you, but he can't. And I was like, oh, so sad.
Why are you doing this? Yeah.
And then he dies pretty quickly after that. And I just said, I'm crying. I said, many tears. My eyeballs are burning. I literally can't read anymore. I'm blinded by tears. And I had to think about the break. And then the other thing I wrote was, like, she doesn't date again. Like, 14 years, and she doesn't date a single. And she's like, I can't date anyone else because no one will ever be as good as Paul. And I was like, girl, please.
I have thoughts about that, but we have to like, get a little farther.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you're chapter 17. We got
to
wait till
18. I only got to chapter 17.
All right, that's good because I got...
It's like, I'm done. Gotta finish this. No more tears. And I also cried about Mark, not like because his dad died, but they talk about how he was estranged from his son,
yeah,
and that they do get to rebuild that relationship,
and then he died.
Yes, but at the end, that Mark can say that he did love his father, and I was like, oh gosh,
yeah.
So sad, but like also so much better to have his dad die with him loving him than like hating him and never knowing if the love could have.
Yeah. So then it's like, it was good that he went to Ecuador because he was good with his son.
I have one more thing I cried about.
Go ahead.
Is there really a chapter 18? Like, this feels very ending to me. What happens in chapter 18?
That's the last chapter.
Okay. The other thing that's happened in chapter 17 that also got me, the last couple of chapters of this book, I was like, oh, so sad, was that, so what's his face is dead, Paul.
Yeah.
And... when Mark comes to tell her he's dead, he also is like, by the way, my dad paid for your dad to live in the old age home until he dies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
What a nice thing to do. Like,
what a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Because she, like, struggled with being able to afford it. She didn't want to put him in a, like, state thing. Mm-hmm. She wanted the private one because it was better quality, but she didn't really have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So she was just barely scraping enough. And then he was like, okay, I got you.
Yeah, that was a very nice parting gift. Given.
I mean, it wasn't intended to be parting.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like, I'm going to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
Yeah.
No, the last little bit is just like Adrian and Amanda talking.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
I was like,
who cares? Yeah. So Adrian talks to Amanda and she's like, you have to be there for your kids.
Yes.
And because she hasn't been, like, she hasn't been really present for her sons and blah, blah, blah. And so then Amanda brings her sons in to sleep in bed with her. And then, so I'm putting my book away because that's it. But, and then Adrian is like, I'm never going to love again. And so this is the crux of what I hated about this book.
Okay.
So two things. There's one, there's like, Adrian is telling this story to her widowed daughter, and she's like, I fell in love, and I will never love again. And I was like, what a weird, like, note to put into this,
to the
like,
book.
She doesn't explicitly say that to her daughter. She's not like, and because I fell so deeply in love, I'm never, ever going to fall in love again. And she's like, I'm too old anyway. I don't care. But it just, like, I feel like what bothered me about it is that she was, like,
trying to help her daughter through her grief.
Yeah. And then I was like, what a terrible message for for your daughter, who
is young.
Is young and trying to live a life again. Yeah. Like, and also, I was like, the reason Rodamp happened was because you were open to having a love happen. I feel like your message should be open to having a love happen.
Yeah.
And I think you should have learned from Rodamp. Like,
to
I don't, the lesson
open your yeah, heart.
Not the lesson from, like, the lesson from Rodamp should not have been, okay, Paul's dead, shut it down. Like, I was annoyed that that was the message. And then the other part of the message that I, like, didn't love was she, like, they both had this thing where they're like, we have to be there for our kids, right? And she's like, you have to be present for your kids. You have to be present in their lives and, like, have this love that, like, in order for them to feel loved, you have to be there kind of every day doing the day-to-day thing. And that's, like, that's love. Mm-hmm. But then her relationship with Paul was one magical weekend in a series of letters. And I was like, your relationship with Paul was not like
the love you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, I was like, it annoyed me that they're like, kid love has to be like, you have to be there every day and have the day to day love. And it, and then, but she's like, but my love with Paul, it was magic. It was the most, like, it was the best love I will ever have in my life. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't have to do any of the day-to-day shit. Like,
of course it's great.
Yeah, of course,
like,
it was.
You never got to go look through the, yeah, like, look through the mirror. Or
yeah,
look
whatever,
through, whatever.
Lens.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and so I was annoyed. Like, I was like, you have two messages here. Like, your one message is, like, you have to be there for the day-to-day shit. And then your other message is, it's so magical when you don't have to be there for the day-to-day shit. I just, like, I was like, what do you, what do you want from me, Nicholas Sparks? Do you want me to be there for the day-to-day shit or not? Like, what am I... I don't know.
It's true.
So that bothered me. There, so, yeah. I felt like there was conflicting messages with that part and then also with move on, be open to love versus just close your heart. That's it. You're done. Like, you've met love in your life. It's over.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for that. I was like, Nicholas, pick one. Pick a message and, like, have that be the message.
Yeah, because she didn't need to not date.
She didn't need.
She could have just dated.
She could have dated.
We could have just thrown that in that, you know, she hasn't never found, like, the love, but mm-hmm. she didn't date. She was like, I'm done. Close that door.
Yeah.
Seal it off.
Love is, that was all the love I ever needed in my life. And I just, maybe it would make sense to older people.
And I mean, it's not like either of us are saying, like, that you need a person to be happy.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I think this book showed you can have, like, a very special connection with a person and it can make a lot of change in your life and, like, do all this magical shit. So be open to that.
Yes.
So that was my final thoughts on this. We don't rank the guys, but how hot was the
I mean, there was things that he did, like reconnecting with his dad. I mean, son.
Yeah.
Buying her, paying for her, like, that I was like, oh, those
are pretty hot.
Yeah. But, like,
yeah,
the rest, he was just a regular dad.
Yeah, just a doctor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of pictured him, like, as a kind of cold doctor figure.
I wrote down all the things he looked like, and we never did it.
Oh, well, I mean,
he had light blue eyes, almost translucent, the most intense eyes she'd ever seen. He was 5'10". He was lean and fit, as if he exercised daily.
Which he did. He ran every day.
He had angular face with a forehead of wrinkles from years of concentration. Gray hair, it was short, and white hair around his ears. I spelt it wrong, so I could be wrong about that, because it says white bear, his ears.
<I don't... laughs> No, that seems like the most logical thing that it could be.
And she immediately finds him attractive. So, you know, like a... What is that called when guys have gray, speckled hair? That's what I imagined.
Yeah.
I mean, if his hair was full gray, I'm notching him down a few pegs. Like that speckled gray look. You know, one? Pepper? Yeah. Pepper hair?
Salt and pepper. Yeah.
That's what I kind of was like, okay, like darker gray. Yeah, kind of. Starting to go good looking. But like, he's only 56 and his hair's...
54.
Yeah. Gray and white. It's aging quick.
I think my dad has white hair.
Your dad has very little hair.
What? I'm just getting offended on his behalf.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's always had, like, the hairline all the way back.
My dad has salt and pepper hair, but he has all his hair.
Mm-hmm. All there, baby. Wow, your dad sounds hot. Okay, we should stop recording.
That's it for this week. Final conclusion. Paul, maybe not hot. My dad, definitely hot.
Yeah.
We should, when we post this one, post pictures of our dads.
No. That'd be so mean. Because, like, poor Paul, he would just be blown out of the water.
It's mean towards Paul. He doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, that was Knights in Rodeo. By Nicholas Sparks. Website for updated rankings of our boys, as well as links to the Goodreads pages for all the books we read, and
follow us on Instagram at Women Writing Men.
Yeah, website is Women Writing Men too. Nailed it.